And welcome to Fritz and Friends, everyone. I'm Cheryl Fritz here, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. With all the unrest in Cairo and in Egypt in general, I thought it might be important. We've heard that there were some MSU students over there to get a hold of the folks who have their finger on this and know exactly what's going on. So we're going out on the phone now to Brent Berquist, who is Executive Director of the MSU Office of Study Abroad. Good evening, Brett. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Cheryl.
Very good. You came to mind, and there was an article in the paper about some students there, and some had come back, and I think one decided to stay. So I just kind of wanted to get the feeling of how that process worked and what this means for students who might want to be there in the future and kind of how it unfolded at the time. There were students studying abroad, MSU students, at the time the unrest started. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We have a couple of programs we offer in Egypt. MSU runs the National Arabic Flagship Overseas Program. And this is a program that comes with some government funding to support students to really become fluent in Arabic and then potentially work in government positions after that. So they spend some time here on campus studying Arabic intensively, including one summer in East Lansing. Later, the program offers them an intensive summer in Alexandria, Egypt, at the University of Alexandria, and then they can go back for an entire academic year. And so we had five students on that program in Alexandria, Egypt. In addition, we had a student who was studying for the second time in Egypt at the American University of Cairo.
And what is the status of those six students at this point? If my math is right, there were five in Alexandria and then another in Cairo?
That's correct. So the program, the flagship program, is actually co-managed with four or five other U.S. universities, and it's administered through an office in Washington, D.C., called the American Council for International Exchange. And so we were in direct communication with that office in D.C. in terms of making decisions to evacuate the students. And that office in Washington arranged for a flight to take the students from Alexandria to Amman, Jordan. From there, they went to Dubai and then came back to Michigan State. Several of the students had already left on their own because when the unrest started, it was the beginning of a three-week semester break. So one of them had gone traveling to Turkey, one had already come back home to see mom and dad, and so on. So in the end, we had two students who were evacuated from Alexandria. Three of them had left previously on their own to do some travel during a break.
And the ones who had gone on travel on their own on that break, did they come on back to the U.S. after their break time was over?
Two of them were heading back to the States. The break is still going now.
Okay.
The three-week break. And one of them joined some family members in another European country.
Now, the one that stayed, is it a he or a she?
It's a female student.
And was she in Cairo?
She is in Cairo, correct.
And my understanding from the article that I read is that she decided to stay on her own, and I assume you had some discussions with her, or maybe I'm wrong about that assumption. How did you come to the meeting of the minds that certainly she was allowed to stay on her own?
Well, to be honest with you, Cheryl, we did not come to a meeting of the minds. Michigan State has officially suspended all of our programs in Egypt. And so we instructed all of the students to return. We asked this particular student to take advantage of the evacuation flights that were organized by the U.S. State Department. The student is an adult. She's over 18, and she weighed the pros and cons and decided that she wanted to stay in Egypt, and that's her right to do so. But she is now there as a private citizen, not under the responsibility of MSU.
So there's no MSU responsibility other than concern.
Correct.
Did she happen to mention it, and I will try to at some point reach her myself, but just we've heard from some Americans who are there that this is history happening and they want to be there. Was that kind of the feeling you got from her, or not to put words in her mouth, but just as far as your understanding?
Very, very much so. Actually, a number of our students on campus, some of those who have studied in Egypt previously and have just come back, They're all saying, wow, I wish I had been there then. I actually have, my own daughter is studying Arabic, and she's been following this very closely and saying what an exciting time it is. She's also studied some political science. And so it's a very interesting time to look at the potential change in the power structure in the Middle East.
Well, and I have two daughters who are of this of college age, and I can see the adventure and the curiosity side of them wanting to be there, and I could appreciate that for them. But I could also imagine a lot of sleepless nights if that were my daughter there.
In this particular case, we've also been in communication with the family. And, you know, they have some concerns, but they also seem to know their daughter very well and understand what she's doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got the feeling when I heard that she stayed. I thought, I bet this isn't the first time she's had an adventurous spirit. How difficult was it to get these students out? You said shortly after, in the article, shortly after the State Department issued the warning, the wheels were in motion. Was it a difficult process?
In this particular instance, it proved not to be so difficult because we were able to take advantage of efforts organized by other organizations. It would have been a different matter if we were directly organizing the program in Alexandria and had to remove our students ourselves. In this case, through our consortium of other participating universities and the organizing office in Washington, D.C., that office essentially set the wheels in motion, got the flights, got the students out. The students in Cairo were able to take advantage of the U.S. government's efforts to help facilitate Americans leaving the country. So there were a lot of flights going every day this past week from Cairo to Cyprus or Greece or Istanbul.
Now, you said that MSU had officially suspended all programs in Egypt. Is there a timetable to look at this, to look at changing this, or is everything just on hold as the situation is quite fluid and developing?
Well, this is actually not the first time that we've experienced these sort of things. One in three undergraduate students at MSU have a study abroad experience. And so we are the number one public university in the country for the number of students who study abroad. And so as you can imagine, when we're sending almost 3,000 students abroad to over 60 countries on all continents, there are things that happen once in a while. So we do have a clear set of protocols and policies within the university on how we handle these things. Once there is a travel warning issued by the State Department, that triggers a number of reviews. In this case, the fact that the danger was really increasing rapidly, we made a rapid decision to ask the students to come back. If the situation calms down quickly and we decide that we want to consider going back to Egypt, then there is a formal process in front of a large university committee with many levels of representation, which will review the situation and make a recommendation to the provost. So that is what would be needed before we could authorize students to return to Egypt. And that committee meets once a month.
Well, you know, Brett, I didn't know these numbers. These numbers are incredible. The one in three students study abroad. That's amazing. I mean, that's quite a program.
It is a big program. And in the area of health and safety, a lot of the country turns to us. We have a full-time person on our staff. Her name is Julie Friend, who is our travel analyst. She's also a lawyer. And a lot of times our policy and how we handle things, because of the large volume, is of service to the field. And so a lot of our peer institutions will call for guidance or will look to our policies.
Well, it's impressive. It sounds like I need to call you again for a whole other interview just to talk about the program in general. But because of the timeliness, I did want to talk to you about this in particular. Brett, I thank you so much for letting us in on how the process worked, and it seemed to work very well.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Very well. Can I keep your number and call you again?
Sure, no problem.
Very good. Thank you so much, Brett. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Brett Berquist, who is Executive Director of the MSU Office of Study Abroad. Fascinating information. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.